Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, Jeff, it's been another week.
Notes. You got all kinds of shit to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's
been a week.
Guess, huh?
There's been a lot going on this week. We need a bottle opener of some sort. There's one.
So I guess the main thing to talk about is yay, Supreme Court.
Yes.
They did the right thing. At least one of the things that is the right thing. They did one bad thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I obviously am in favor of them throwing out DOMA. How they threw out Prop 8 was little...
It wasn't so much about the Prop 8 what I was talking about as being the bad thing. I was talking about the Voting Rights Act.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was going to get to that. But okay. they threw out Prop 8 by basically saying people don't have... only the state has standing to challenge this. And the only thing that kind of rubs in the wrong way about that is it was sort of a direct democracy type thing. Where they, you know, they went to the polls, and that means that going on in the future, if some group goes to the polls and makes direct democracy, but the legislators and or the government of the state doesn't like it, then there's no way to support it one way or the other. So it's kind of like, I mean, I understand why they did it, and you know, it was helpful that they did it because it throws out the whole Prop 8 nonsense, which is Prop 8 was disgusting law, but. Going forward, does that influence the ability for people to do direct democracy when they can't get their legislature on board?
Here comes the weed, man. Here comes the weed.
Here comes the weed. Dee-dee-dee-dee.
And then the Voting Rights Act, where they threw out a provision which would allow...
Which decided which districts needed... to report to the federal authorities and
law changes, things like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was dumb because essentially the ruling was, well, racism is over now, so it's not necessary. And it's a little like, no.
Not over. Not in all parts of the world.
If you ever get a chance to say racism is over, then racism is not over.
I get you. Sorry, I'm just trying to get into a good show position.
So, yeah, I mean, there's not much to talk about, really. We pretty much look at them in the exact same way and feel the exact same way about it.
Yeah, there's no argument. It's just, I don't know, just one of those moments, even though it was only 9 people and not America who made this decision, right? It's like, you know, it's kind of like, happy on the way home, like, you know, I'm happy to live here now, you know, that kind of thing.
Where
there's one less group that is being discriminated against. So.
Yeah. No. And we'll see how, you know, it took 17 years for this ridiculously discriminatory law to get down. But it also, I mean, what it really took was it took a sea change in culture. It took people really starting to fully accept the idea that gay people are that love doesn't have to be based on gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
All right. So I guess you got a whole bunch of science or something next, right?
Sort of.
Science.
Okay. I'll give them a sciencey thing. I was down in Maryland for the past last couple of days. And I went to a ball game with my dad.
Okay.
And on the way out, there's an escalator system. My dad told me to watch out for when we got on it because we were up at like the third level, and an escalator goes down to the second level, and then right next to it has an escalator that goes down to the first level. And apparently, he and my mother and other people complained that things get bunched up at that point because there's also then people coming in from the other side. All right,
so you get pushed off the escalator into people.
Get
pushed into you.
Basically, this giant pit. So it's interesting what they did in order to counter that, which is they basically took a couple fences and made it so it elongated the path from outside the first escalator and onto the second escalator. And there was also a person in between who was directing the flow.
Okay.
And while this was happening, all I could think of was, this is treating humans like an ideal guest. This is a Boltzmann distribution. This is a Maxwell Boltzmann distribution. I mean, it's wonderful that, you know, you can statistically deal with people, you know, on this massive level with pretty simple dynamics, because you get to throw all that stuff away and you just have elastic collisions with things that are being pushed in general direction.
It's actually better than traffic, right? Because there's no, it doesn't turn into a solid at any point where, you know, when traffic has an accident, it backs up into a solid, you know, so it's more ideal, you know.
Yeah.
It's not what you mean by ideal gas, I guess. I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, it's treated like they're particles of an ideal gas. Like they, you know, they can bounce off each other. But, you know, and every time they bounce, they can exchange momentum.
The thing is, the only thing you have to add to the equation is too much bouncing pisses off the molecules.
Well, that's what the flow regulator is for. That's what the person in the middle there is for, is to keep things going on. That's what, you know, what a flow regulator is. So things don't get backed up at one point. But, you know, this essentially, you know, turns... It worked. It worked fantastically, and it was simply it was the same thing you'd do in a situation where you had water going down pipes, and you had to figure out how to do that. It works the same way. So I was amazed, sort of looking at that from sort of the inside looking out and seeing this is, you can model this very accurately just with the Maxwell-Boltzmann distribution. And I told them my dad, and he was like, huh? And it's like, I don't know. I look at the world in math now. I just naturally see it. So.
That's cool.
So this, we didn't get to talk about this last time because it got erased, but there was the NSA snooping thing, and we won't go over it too much, but now he's in Russia, and Putin is basically flexing his, you know, his Russia muscles, which he has lots of, and basically telling the U.S., yeah, kind of go fuck yourselves. It's funny because Putin is a lot like what you imagine Trump would be if he actually won the presidency, right? He's just like, yeah, fuck you. I do what I want. I mean, yeah, he's gold-plated helicopters and stuff like that. Dude, don't you think that if Trump became president, he'd make a gold-plated helicopter? Absolutely.
It would be whack. It'd be Looney Town, that's for sure.
It'd be, I mean, you know, USA would be smaller on the plane than Trump would be. It'd be the Trump United States of America.
Sell the naming rights to his own company.
He'd make sure to blow Trump on the moon, you know, big T in USA in smaller letters, so everyone knew.
Speaking of blowing up the moon, did you see that thing where there was actually a project?
We talked about this before.
Did we?
Okay. There was a project to set off. There was a proposal from some a-hole in the 50s. So some military a-hole was like, we're going to need nuclear weapons. Or woo-hoo! Let's blow one up on the moon to show these Russians who's boss. And, you know, that's fine. People are going to have dumb ideas. And I was sort of gratified to see that what happened was someone said, let's do this idea. And they said, okay, let's send this through the proper channels. And it went through the proper channels, and the proper channel said, that's a really fucking stupid idea. And it just got shot down. And the system worked. The real story, I mean, the media story was U.S. The big titles were, U.S. planned to blow up the moon. When it was, you know, U.S. had an idea. Somebody in the U.S. had an idea to put a nuclear weapon on the moon to show off. And everyone around him, you know, they commissioned a study just to see how terrible it would be, and everyone was like, "No," and that was it. That's all that came of it. So, right. To me, it was a story of government working exactly as it should.
Right. No, good. It's a good point. You're right. It's just, you think about that general from Texas, right? You know, we had to be from Texas, you know. Let's blow up the moon. Woohoo.
We can do it. We have the technology.
Oh, the main thing we talked about the NSA last week was just the, with the densest storage that I know of, mm-hmm. you know, that you can buy on the open market, the amount of space and power it would take to do the 5 zettabytes that the reporter wrote that the Utah Data Farm is capable of housing. And it's so wrong that it has to be an error, or they have magic.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
Yeah. We've discussed the possibility of magic, which was, yeah, if they have P equals NP, then it's not a problem. If they have figured out how to do that, then it's not a problem. But that is effectively magic at this point. I mean, it's the Asimov version of magic, but it's magic.
Yeah, something so advanced that you can't even explain it.
Yeah. But that's almost certainly not what is happening, because you kind of feel that if something as powerful and as big as the NSA had P equals NP, you'd know it.
Yeah. It would get out.
Yeah. What, I mean,
or they would have been able to know Edward Snowden was going to turn before Edward Snowden himself knew he was going to turn, right?
What keeps, you know, astonishing me about the stuff is how off and wrong the initial stuff was that we were, you know, NSA is spying on every single one of us constantly. No. The NSA is tracking each and every one of our emails, trivially, but not really. It takes a lot of work for them to do any sort of search, and it would have to.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I mean, here's the thing: it should not be scary to anyone unless the government finds you interesting. The problem is, you don't know when the government finds you interesting. And you don't have easy recourse to say, "Hey, I'm not interesting." So,
the other worry is, you get arrested for something, justly, unjustly. Case is weak. Case is circumstantial. Let's go see what we have on Jeff in the haystack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they build a case that way. That's right. The scary part, right?
That's scary if. If that were, I don't think they have the ability to do that for domestic crimes specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's legally available to them. It's not to say they couldn't go in there and try to find stuff and poke from there and you know, call it something else.
Right.
But
I mean, but that's I think that's where the most logical concern comes from, where this data, not just this data, but all the data that's available to any law enforcement, right?
Right.
You know, maybe local police, state police are able to send some FBI, right? Let's go see what we have on, oh, look, we have pretty good evidence that so-and-so was downloading pirated software. And let's make a case on that, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Yeah. But there's also a part of me that's like, we gave that up voluntarily for the benefits that we're getting. And there's a part of us that has to know that the ability to track is there. Nobody wants to do it necessarily, but the ability to track has always been there for various other technologies too. Phones have been able to be tracked.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you've been carrying a cell phone, there's been a data trail of your
location. There's been a data trail of what numbers you've called and how long. I mean, they've been able to pull that information. They can check your power and see if you've been using more power over a certain period of time. That's how they used to find like people were growing marijuana, because they check the power, and they'd see that there was these spikes.
I wonder if LED lamps make that harder to spot. Probably.
Yes, but LED lamps, the problem with them is that they're too...
They're not a good grow light?
I don't think they're a good grow light, because it's, LED focuses on one wavelength of light, as opposed to the other lights, which put out much.
But you know, they could probably make,
like, you can't split an LED, a white LED light through a prism.
You have to be able to somewhat. It is white. It's going to be a lot of blue, but it's going to be some other colors.
Yeah, I guess the white would have to be, but you can't split like other colors through prism.
It's not going
to
be equal. It's not going to be the same rainbow distribution you get from sunlight.
Yeah,
no. But plants probably don't need the full spectrum. They probably specialize in a few wavelengths, right? And the rest probably is underutilized. So you could probably make a grow LED light.
You could probably make a collection of grow LED lights, sure. But you'd have to.
And LEDs are getting more and more warm all the time, which means there's more of the yellows and the oranges and, you know, those wavelengths in the light anyway. So
the other thing though is that the LED lights don't provide heat.
Plants don't need the heat though.
Sure they do.
They don't need solar energy heat.
No, but heat is still, you know, it helps their environment. So you got to find heat. Remember, there was that problem with they're replacing all these traffic lights with LED lights because they last forever. Mm-hmm. But the regular old traffic lights, when they would get snowed on, they'd get hot and the snow would melt off.
Okay.
And so,
never thought of that one.
Yeah, and the LEDs don't get hot. The snow doesn't melt off. So they had to actually put heaters inside the traffic lights.
Right. That's interesting. That's a problem you wouldn't have foreseen, right? I wonder if an engineer who's, you know, retrofitting a traffic light saw that, or if it was if they saw it in the field first.
I think it's probably in the field, because I think it's one of those things, yeah, you don't consider. You're like, these are just going to be better lights.
But in hindsight, it's so obvious, right? So I'm just wondering if anyone caught it before it went out to the field.
It's a funny story. Where are we now?
Do you have any LED lights?
I have fluorescents. I don't know if I have any LEDs.
Yeah, I don't have any LEDs.
Aside from flashlights.
Yeah, I meant house lights. Yeah. I mean, I'm probably over half compact fluorescent. And I haven't bought any incandescents in forever. They're just ones that don't get turned on very often, so they don't burn out very often. You know, so again, if they're not turned on very often, there's little pressure to replace them.
Yeah, and the CFLs last forever, so.
I've had a few. I bought some of the cheap Home Depot ones, and I've had two or three go bad already.
I've found that CFLs, if you put them inside things like that, sometimes for some reason they bust really quickly. They need to breathe.
These were all in ceiling fans. Maybe the little bit of shaking that's there did something. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, they were cheap.
They also might have been all from the same carton, you know. Yeah. Could have been a bad run or something.
Could have been. Have you been watching? Let's see. You don't watch Mad Men. Mad Men just ended their sixth season.
No, I'm not really watching anything right now. A little bit of Deadliest Catch here and there. Gonna start Game of Thrones soon, but not really watch anything.
So Mad Men kind of infuriated me with the end because it was so good. It was like it shouldn't be allowed to be that good, partially because the beginning of the season and most of the season, it felt like this was really going to be a down season. This is not going to be a very good season. It just didn't feel like it was building anything. And then it really all came together as one of those things where you're like, and it came together in such a just this really beautiful way. And I just kind of got angry at it
because it was good.
Yeah, it shouldn't be allowed to be that good. It shouldn't be allowed to be that awesome. But I was thinking about Mad Men versus The Wire.
Okay.
Because they're way different shows. But you know, what makes them so good and why does that difference, you know, how does that difference manifest itself? And I think I came up with a reasonable analogy. So if you look at The Wire as more like a political cartoon strip, say a Doonesbury or something like that, along those lines. It may not be the best drawn thing in the world, right? Mm-hmm. It can seem kind of dirty and not, you know, not the most well put together thing, but that it's bringing out so much and saying so much makes it valuable. And that it becomes so much more than what you thought it was, even though it's a series of what it appeared to be at first to be, you know, kind of rude, crude sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns into something, you know, much more than that.
Okay.
So that's The Wire, whereas Mad Men is much more perfection of the form of television. So they take everything that's come up to the point in terms of television and drama and have really nailed down how to hit those beats correctly. And you know, everything is drawn beautifully. So it's sort of like The Wire is your Picasso and Mad Men is your Rembrandt.
Okay.
You know, one is playing with the form and in some ways destroying it, in some ways taking it apart, looking at it as a whole. And another one is really just being an absolute master of the form.
Okay. When does Breaking Bad start back up?
Couple weeks.
I think so. Couple weeks. Oh, happy Jeff.
Sometime in July, I think.
I heard someone say The Killing on AMC is really good. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that. I heard that the first two seasons sucks. I don't know what I'm going to get into.
Okay. Well, then I have more weight in your opinion than, but you only heard, you didn't see.
I did not see it.
Right. So yeah, that's
my parents watch it. My parents watch some other stupid stuff too. They still watch Dexter. My dad watches True Blood. So August 11th is when Breaking Bad returns.
August 11th. Okay. Yes. Right after vacation. Sweet. Walter White, we're going to miss you, buddy.
Have you been watching The Daily Show?
No, I haven't.
John Oliver's been doing a great job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot he took over. I'm going to have to... I have the last couple weeks downloaded. I just haven't had time to tune into him.
I was down at my parents' house, like I said, and they just installed this new system. They redid their basement. I think I told you about some of that and put in a whole new theater system. And I went down there and they said, you know, the guy hasn't finished hooking everything up yet because they were having some problem with he even has 3D, you know, the 3D capable projector and
oh geez. Down in the basement?
3D, yeah.
Basement wasn't finished at all before, was it?
No.
Okay, yeah, it was just an old, it was like my basement growing up, right. Spider cobwebs and shelves and stuff. No,
it's very different now.
Oh, okay.
But so I went down there and like, well, for some reason right now we can't get the 3D channels. That's weird, but whatever. And then I took up my computer to it because I wanted to show them something. I wanted to show them the Secret Life of Chaos thing that, that I showed you. And realized pretty quickly, for some reason, stuff was not, you know, they have brought a pretty nice set of equipment and stuff was not going through the receiver.
Okay.
And I was like, what the heck is going on? So I looked at the back and I realized that the stuff was not using the receiver except for audio, and they were pulling from the DirecTV into an HDMI splitter, so the HDMI would go into the back of the audio receiver just for audio, and then it would split to the projector for video. And I was like, this is not really set up very well. I don't understand why this is doing that. So I talked to the guy who was doing the setup. Mm-hmm. My parents, you know, called him up and said, you know, our son has some questions. So I was like, what is going on? And he told me that there was a handshaking problem with the receiver and the projector. So that's why he did stuff that he did. And, you know, that makes reasonable sense. And also what he could do with, like, he had the DVD, you could plug the HDMI directly to the projector, and then he took digital audio out that was and moved that to the receiver. But there wasn't a digital audio out on the DirecTV. Well, I noticed after that call that there was a digital audio out, but it was the coaxial, or the coaxial kind. Right. So I was able to get it to work in a weird kind of way, but I still didn't want to mess with this stuff. But I, you know, told him what I did and got it to work and et cetera. So
does he have a good remote?
He had a remote that didn't work very well, and I think they're replacing that. But
okay.
I got the call the day after I left, after I left a message for the guy and told him basically what I did, that everything was fixed and everything was working exactly as it should. So either everything just happened to fix itself, or me being there and just being like, I know what should be going on, and I'm kind of curious as to why it's not, made him think, all right, well, I can't...
Slack off on it.
Yeah, I can't slack off on it anymore.
Right.
So
that'd be insane, trying to pass off on a customer, you know, here's your new setup, but all the sound's coming out of the TV speakers, right?
Not gonna, it wasn't the TV speakers.
I know, yeah. But you know what I'm saying, right? Where it'd just be like, what?
Yeah. You know, my parents are not technical people, but I was able, you know, but... Well, it's not too hard to look in the back of those things and figure out how they should be connected.
Yeah, some people, I mean, you hook up computers all the time, but some people, to me, it's always been natural putting stuff like that together, but some people have a real difficult time understanding the back of a receiver and things like that.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things, right? I mean, there are a lot of holes. And so if you don't, yeah, if you don't understand what all that, what they all mean and how they all work together, but it's really
I mean, there's not that, I mean, in my opinion, right, you know, it was very intuitive. There's not that much to understand. There's holes for ins, there's holes for outs, and the buttons on the front switch the ins to the outs. Really, if you understand that much, right, you can figure out the rest.
But when you realize, like, people like my father, who are not willing to spend the time.
Oh, he wouldn't have the patience. No. He'd see the 150 ports on the back and just throw up his hands and say, I'm not doing this. That's probably exactly what he did, huh?
Yeah. So it should be interesting within the next, probably next week when he receives his iMac.
Okay.
Which we bought because it's time for him to buy a new computer, and we took him to a local Apple store, smaller, not an Apple store, but like a licensed Apple reseller, because he wanted to give money to the small business, and solid iMac does everything that basically wanted to do, and I convinced him to get the super drive as opposed to just the right off the, you know, this the 5400 RPM regular drive. So this has super drive has a combination of the
that's one with the cache, right? So it's a solid state cache.
Yeah, it's a solid state cache, and so that should be a lot faster for him. And I also gave him a USB key with Office on it, so he could install it. Now, will he be able to install it? I don't know. But
it'll just pop up and say, click me. I mean, hopefully.
But, yeah, so that should be interesting. But, yeah, it'll be a much better computer than what he's had before.
Cool. New Mac user. It'll make your support.
Well, I mean, he loves his iPad. He loves, and I'm sure that's what brought him around to, I can get a Mac. And also, I mean, it's funny, the computer he has right now, the fan is like, and that iMac doesn't sound like anything.
No. So he has the iPad. He has the iMac. He needs some kind of AirPlay thing for his new home theater, like an Apple TV or something like that.
Right.
That's cheap, right? It's only like $99. So there's the Christmas present you get for him. Get him an Apple TV, hook it up, and show him how he can have all his computer stuff go to his home theater then.
Yeah, he can do AirPlay and send stuff to it. Yeah.
What do you say we go drink some beers?
Let's do it.
Beers.
Persh. We'll talk about my